You are listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 86, The End of Google as We Know It. So the next one that they did was they previewed the next version of Google Maps for... Oh, what did I just do? I clicked on something. The next version of Google Maps for iOS, Android, and the web. And let me say that it looks amazing.
Yeah.
They are doing some very, very, very cool and crazy things with maps where Apple will never catch up.
Right. Right. Well, yeah.
I mean, there was thoughts that, oh, maybe they can't have to aggregate enough data and fix some of their problems. No. Google took like 3 or 4 steps ahead of them. Number one, which is accessible in the browser, which is like already a step ahead. But in your browser, and I got to check out the preview for it, they got rid of the interface. It's not there anymore. There's a search bar that just sits on top and then some controls that sit on top. So your entire browser is the map. And when you search for something, what it will do is it will then just display the pins and their names on the map. You won't have the list anymore. It'll just be on the map. And if you click on one of them, a little card will pop up underneath the search bar that shows you, like tells you information about it, just like it normally wouldn't. If you want, you can click more to learn more, and it'll give you more information that'll pop up over it. And so it's just very clean and very... very simple,
yeah.
Which is nice. And then what they do is they take it to Crazy Town, where they sit there and say, there are literally now millions and millions of new maps, and they talked about this idea of when someone personally gives you directions, like they're writing it on a napkin. What they do is they give you the most important landmarks needed to get you from point A to point B.
Right.
And so they try to duplicate that in Google Maps, but obviously not hand-drawn, but with their thing. So if you have like a one of your results and you click on a restaurant and it's on some side street that they go normally it would never be labeled because it's some puny side street.
Yeah.
They go, now when you click on that, that side street will now be labeled and become bolder, and all the streets around it will fade away. And so will all the other main streets that get you to that restaurant will become bolded, and for sure, they'll have the label on them.
Right.
Not only that, but the points of interest that show up on the map will now switch to points of interest that are related to that item.
Interesting.
And if you clicked on a new one, the map changes yet again to highlight what is applicable to that place.
Right.
If you select your home, it will tell you where your home is, and you can put in where your home is. And then as you do other Google searches and look for other things, the next time you just open up the map to start with, it will have your favorites as points of interest already on the map and the roads associated with those points of interest. And so the idea is they now, for every single location, they can dynamically generate a specific map for that location that gives all the highlights for that one.
Right.
Which you're like, that's pretty darn awesome.
Right, yeah.
That they can do that. And then they also showed off some, they built Google Earth right into it. And it's all using vector graphics, so you can zoom in and zoom out. And they literally zoomed it all the way, they zoomed it really far back to where you could literally see clouds and stuff. And they went, yeah, those clouds are live. And they're like, that is what the weather is right now. And you're just like, whoa, that's kind of crazy. And then you zoom it back even further, and it shows you where the time zones are. In the sense where wherever it's supposed to be dark, it's actually dark on the Earth. And when you rotate it to there, you see the lights on how it's supposed to be lit up, as if it were nighttime. If you scroll around in enough circles, you'll actually see the Milky Way around the Earth. And so they're like, yeah, well, so we built Google Earth into this. And And then the other one that they did, which is cool, is you take it to the next level where, you know, you zoom in, street view type of thing. They now will have photos pop up that users have taken and submitted, and I don't fully understand how that works. But it will then show them, and then when you hover over the photo, it will tell you where it's located, where that shot was taken from. And so if you do a restaurant and you're like, oh, show me the street view, and people have taken pictures inside the restaurant or of the restaurant, you'll then be able to see all of those.
Bing Maps was doing that years ago. I mean, that was one of their big things they really tried to push. It's interesting that Google's finally getting around to it, but that's a cool feature. I mean, and especially the idea that it's photos of what's going on inside. That's actually the coolest, in my opinion. That's the coolest feature of Foursquare, is if you're like, you can, mm-hmm. when you check places out, you see the photos of that people have taken from the inside. Cause street view is nice, but
plus the tips,
right.
Check out this burger. It's amazing. All right. I'll check it out.
Burger. Yeah.
Yeah. So no, I'm totally with you. And, but yeah, so they've made some huge, huge map improvements, and I'm just like, man, I'm an Apple fanboy, I'll admit. So I see stuff like this, and I'm like, Apple Maps, not even close.
Well, it's funny. I find that I use Apple Maps a lot. I use both of them interchangeably, because I still think that Apple Maps traffic data on the iPhone is way more up to date than Google Maps is. Mm. You know, if there's an accident or if there's traffic piling up, when I'm hitting traffic,
I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, lucky you. When I'm hitting traffic, Apple Maps is saying there's traffic here. Google Maps is saying there's traffic in 4 miles. Like, thanks, Google Maps. if I wanted to avoid this, I'm not going to. So I find that I use Apple Maps a lot, and I don't know if that's just the Apple platform or if that's Google. You know, if it's because it's on the iOS and it just doesn't update regularly, or I don't know what the deal is there, but. But yeah, you get features like this, and like, yeah, that's pretty cool, man. That's pretty cool. They're making some big improvements, and like you said, they're leapfrogging, and these are more than just iterative improvements. As much as they are, you know, iterative, they're much closer to whole scale redesigns of how the system works. And you know, the only thing that Apple has going for them is that Google is showing them this is what you do next. Apple did that for Google for a couple of years. So it's possible that Apple will eventually get around to at least being in parity, if not being a little bit better. It's just going to take time. Arguably they may or may not have. But yeah, I don't know. That's cool. I like Google Maps. I've always thought it was one of the coolest projects that Google does. So I'm glad to see them really pushing. And I'm glad to see the integration with Google Earth, too, because it's always been – one of those has been a toy. It was more of a research project, really, and the other one was a tool. And it's cool to see the elements of the research project that was Google Earth get integrated into the tool that is Google Maps, and, you know, see those things become a single unified product.
Yeah, I think if you go to maps.google.com/preview, you can ask to get in and check it out. I think now if I haven't tried this on Safari.
I'm
still on the old one.
So that
I was typing. Sorry.
Yep, that new feature on this ridiculous.
All I was saying is I've got it enabled on Chrome on my work laptop because I was able to get in.
Yeah.
Just google.com or maps.google.com/preview. There should be something there that asks you for an invite.
Send me an invite. Nice.
There it is. There you go. You can check that out. Check it out. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. So we should have gone to the conference itself. Because if we had done that, we would be clutching our brand new Chromebook Pixels right now.
Yeah, they gave away a bunch of... Really?
They gave away Pixels.
Oh, jeez.
What's wrong with that? That's a cool, cool machine.
Yeah, it's cool for everybody else. Where was Google I.O. this year? It's like in San Francisco, isn't it? I mean, could have actually gone.
It's the same place where Apple does their thing.
The Urba Buena Center?
Center, yeah.
Urba Buena. Dang it. I wanted to go. Dude,
I bet it costs more than a pixel to go.
Probably. Yeah, it's like WWDC. It's not cheap.
It's like $2,500 bucks to go to that.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's designed for developers. Yeah, they're trying. Well, not for me. I can just drive home, crash at buddy's houses. I wish I could justify it. Pixel, because those are nice looking computers.
Yeah, so they gave those bad boys away.
I don't even know what to say about that. Just kind of, I want one. Jealousy. Unhealthy.
Your parents just got home, just so you know.
Oh, man. How did you know that?
I got a text message.
Well, yeah. I can't. Obviously, they haven't walked through the door yet because usually I can hear them.
So there was also one other thing that happened.
Yeah.
At the very end of the event, Larry Page came out to speak to the group for a half hour. And he obviously, which I think is part of the reason why he talked about his vocal cord issue earlier in the week. He sent out a post saying that he has some sort of vocal cord thing. And so he's like, my voice sounds weird as a result. And it's really soft and whatever. And it sounds like he did that because he knew he was going to go out on stage and talk for a while and wanted to get that distraction out of the way. And be like, what's wrong with your voice? And so he did that and he came and he spoke and just kind of gave some thoughts. And then he opened it up for Q&A.
Yeah.
And said, come ask me questions. You know, I just want to be open and honest as much as possible and just kind of tell you what some of our thoughts are.
Yeah.
That was super pretty interesting. Cool. Yeah, just kind of impromptu type of deal. And Robert Scoble was the very first one to ask a question.
Yeah.
To which he was like, huge fan. He goes, yeah, didn't really appreciate your picture, but I enjoy your enthusiasm of his shower picture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, which I was like, you know, there's probably, he said that, you know, half jokingly, and Robert was like, ha, 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 yeah, yeah. I was like, I totally wanted to be like, no, seriously, stop messing with us. We're trying to change the world, and you're messing that up.
Yeah, stop being a jerk.
Try to be cool for half a second.
Right.
So we can get people to wear these.
Right.
That's wrong. You're hurting us. Though you'll get a kick out of this. I was drawing a picture in anticipation of this podcast.
Yeah.
And let's see here. I'll show it to you. It's really well drawn. Here it is.
Oh my gosh. That's so bad. That is so bad.
Basically it's a horizontal line with a J coming off one side and a J coming off the other side to be the ear hooks, and then an orange L on one side to indicate the glass,
that's
your hardware itself.
We are pros.
Hey, yeah, I never said I was an artist, but I'm going to try. So anyways, I was drawing that and I oftentimes before I do these drawings out or before I'm like, okay, I'm done. I'll show them to my wife to be like, what is this? And if she can guess what it is, then I'm like, all right, it's good enough.
That's funny.
That's my threshold. Right. And so I showed her, she's like, I don't know, it looks like a pair of glasses or like you haven't finished them yet. I'm like, yeah, that's right, it's a glass. And she goes, wait, is that what they look like? I was like, well, yeah. She's like, but you didn't finish drawing it yet. Like, nope, that's about it.
Yeah.
And she was like, what? I went, here, let me show you. I did a quick, you know, Google Glass image search and showed her some of the pictures. And she was like, no, that cannot be what they look like. I was like, yeah, that's them. She goes, You'd look like a total dork. Why would you ever wear these? It's like, well, because it's glass. It's got the little computer thing, and it can show you. She's like, no, that's not it. That's a joke, right? It's like, no, that's really what it is. It's like, there's that huge computer thing on the side. She's like, who would ever wear that? That's so stupid. She's like, you look so dumb. It's like, well.
I would wear that.
I think I would. I was like, yeah, and it only cost you $1,500. She was like, what? It's like, no.
You're not allowed. No,
I get the feeling like you put it on and you think you're cooler than you look, which is part of the problem.
Yeah, I get the feeling. Yeah, we're going to figure it out. I think it's definitely something we'll figure out, but it's going to take a little while. And I feel like there's going to be you're going to look like a dork. I got to believe you're going to walk into the bars and people are going to be like, oh my God. Oh my goodness. I can't believe you wear that. You know, it's just like, wait, come on. It's not that bad. And like I said, I think when Oakley's finally, does their takes the hardware or the internals and, makes it look cool and stuff Ray-Bans does it and everybody kind of makes their cool version of it, it'll be different. That's when you'll really see the bellwether change.
It was funny. So anyways, right. Total side note. So that happened, which I just thought was hilarious. But anyways, he was on stage, and one of the things he said in his opening remarks is, he goes, every story I read about Google is us versus some other company or some stupid thing, and I just don't find that very interesting. We should be building great things that don't exist. Being negative isn't how we make progress. Most important things are not zero sum. There is a lot of opportunity out there. And cool. Yeah, I mean, just very like, he's got these hopes and these dreams and his vision that it's all kumbaya and we all like get along and, it should be awesome. And you listen to it, you're like, yeah, it's going to be sweet. And, he's got this vision. And then it's like, you start sitting back and you think about, we should be building great things that don't exist. And you're like, let's think about this for half a second here. Google search, that existed. Their new Google Music, that existed. Gmail, that existed. Google Talk, that existed. Let's see, calendars existed. Maps, okay, MapQuest, I don't know if that counts as existing, but technically it did. It's like, they are masters at taking what somebody has already done and just making it better.
Right, which is what that's what the heart of innovation is. I mean, there are very few things that you can say are, like, genuinely new. And really and truly, like, automated cars or, self-driving cars in concept isn't new, but the technology that they're employing to do it is genuinely new. Heads-up display, that's been around for a long time.
I guess, like, I'm with you. I'm totally with you. But it's just things where it's like, they're working on Google Plus. Well, this is a clear ripoff on other stuff. And the Google Music, clear ripoff.
What I was going to say more generally was going to be, too, if you don't mind me cutting you off, is going to be, there are some things that they do that are genuinely new. The vast majority of what they do is just normal innovation where you take somebody else's product and you do it better and you sell it for less. And, that's what they do to everybody. They take other people's products, they sell it, they do it better and sell it for less. And then they
inherently leads to a us versus them.
Yeah. It's because you're competing. Yeah. It's like Android. Like, what do you think that is? Like, you started this operating system that was going to compete against BlackBerry, and the iPhone came out, so you completely redesigned the UI so it can compete with iPhone. Like, that wasn't the tech media trumping it up as though, oh, you're competing again. You're like, you guys aren't trying to compete, but you are trying to. No, that was you guys redesigned the operating system so it specifically so it would compete with iOS. Like, what, you know, what are you trying to say? And, you know, and that goes back to their, like, do no evil thing, where it, that sounds great, and for a long time, everybody totally, like, oh, yeah, that Google does no evil. Like, you can trust this company. And it's a good motto. It's a good thing to aim for, but the reality of it is it's this giant multinational corporation with, you know, billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars flowing through it. They do evil stuff sometimes. Like, it just is, it's you know, par for the course. Hopefully they do less than most, you know, or less than average. But the idea that, you know, that as a company, you wouldn't have competitive products. Well, and not to mention the fact that you don't really have a choice, because if you create a cool product and somebody else thinks they can do it better, they're going to compete against you. And then you're inherently competing. That's not, I mean, you and I aren't creating the corporate opera. We're not creating the social exciting story and fabricating it out of nothingness. And that's just these big companies that are trying to fight for each other's lunch. Like, I don't know, that's a dumb comment. You know, whatever.
Well, it's on the surface of it. You're like, oh, I get it. We should compete, but more like two classy sports teams compete. You know, the best fan win. Don't play dirty. Don't be butthurt when you lose. Don't be mean spirited. Just, you know, play, compete well, compete hard. And it's almost like that's what he wants to say. And, you know, when it's all done, let's shake hands because we realize we're all part of the same team.
Right. We're all super rich, and the minimum wage on for football players is $1 million a year. So, you know, why do we really care who wins and loses? And you're like, because if you win, you're all billionaires and we're just millionaires. That's why we care. You know, it's just a, I don't know. That's an interesting, that's an interesting thing that he would say, because it just seems his competitors are going to see, look through that and just be like, they're going to laugh. That's just jokeable. It's almost irritating. It's so naive because it's not, he's not that naive. That you were saying, you know, who were you saying that for? You weren't saying that for your competition. You were saying that for the media. And the media, you know, and you're just trying to sound like you realize you're doing is you're savagely going on after your competition, and you're trying to buffer it as though you're not. And
well, yeah, know. Well, and the best part was it was just like less than 30 seconds later, he was being all negative on Microsoft for implementing Google Talk into their new Skype thing. He's like, but it doesn't go the other way. And he's like, that would have been nice, you know, instead of just mooching off of our service. Why they got to be that way?
Like, right. Ooh.
Talk about not being negative, huh? They're like,
yeah, seriously.
Wait, now they'll really do it, now that you've called them out on a public stage and made fun of them. Just, yeah, but well, anyways, it was just very...
I wonder if he got off the stage and was like, that should have been more scripted.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, you could tell that he had written remarks at the beginning because he had a little note card, and then when he did do the Q&A, that was, he put that away and just kind of was answering questions. And a lot of people were like, it was funny. They wanted to be like, so what's your next product? What are you doing next? This is what everybody on there had on their mind. And he, of course, one person just like straight up asked that. So what's the next big thing from Google?
Yeah.
And he was like, well, we're not announcing anything right now, so next question?
Yeah, that's funny. Oh, you got me. Now I have to answer.
Oh, you asked. I answer. I said it was open mic. That's how this works, I guess.
I got to tell the truth.
So funny. So people would try to go around and be like, what do you see as some of the big trends of the future? You know, just kind of let's just get close enough where I can write a lot of blog posts for the next, you know, 2 months about where I think you're headed and what that would look like.
And that's why that's why everybody loves interviewing Elon Musk, because he just tells you what they're going to be doing for the next 5 years. We're going to be doing this. Yeah. And then, like, you can write, everybody writes a blog post about, this is what I think they're going to do next year. And you're like, yeah, he said that. like 2 years ago.
You would be right.
Good guess.
Yeah. Now, and then there was people who were fishing. Like, what do you think about Google in the living room? What are your thoughts there? You know, just like, oh, it was funny. I mean, it was just like, I mean, there were some good questions, but they were all related to, can you give us a hint as to what you're doing in the future?
Right. Yeah. That reminds me of that conversation that I had with that Apple dude where I was like, tell me about the Pebble Watch. What do you think of that? Just try to get close enough, you know, to get an answer without actually having to ask the question. That's funny.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. But I mean, he said – so his comments were very general in that regard. And it sounds like he was trying to do something very similar to what they do at their like Google internal conference stuff. He'll do like an open mic and he'll have submissions from people and questions from in the room. But A, he can be a whole lot more honest with what they're doing there because it's all internal. Yeah. And then B, they're not all just like product-related questions. And,
right.
And so it was, yeah, it was just very interesting. I would have been cool because I think I like a lot of the history stuff more, but it would have been nice to be like, tell us, how hard was it to pull this off? Like Google Hangouts, why did that take so long? What?
Right.
You know, and where do you see that going? And I think if you asked a question like that, he would be like, oh, yeah, well, there's a heck of a story behind that one. And
right. You know, and I
tried to
do,
and here's what we're going to try to do, and you actually might get something out of them from the future.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, if you could get it to, yeah, I was going to say, I think if you'd asked it that way, you'd be way more, he would accidentally give you way more information than he meant to, where he would get off the stage later and think, they're going to figure it out. Shoot. You know, I should not have said that. You know, whereas, yeah, just asking him straight up, so what's the next big thing? You know, that's not that was a waste of your breath, people.